I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No inside information on this podcast, guys. How are you now? Brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I'm James Whelan, Managing Director of Barclay Pearce Capital's Asset Management Team. You are joining us from the studios of Barclay Pearce, Studio One on Pitt Street, Sydney, Australia. A reminder that all advice contained or all anything contained is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. And I mark well to everyone who does. I'm joined by John Athanasio of Redleaf Securities today. John, no inside information on this podcast, please.
No inside information. We'd never do such a thing. Don't even mention that. Great to be on. Thanks for having me, James.
We're airtight, squeaky clean here, absolutely, on this stuff. Yeah. I'm also joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. How are you, Heath?
Very well, thanks, mate. Enjoying the start of the festive season, December 1st today. So, we're really cranking up into Christmas, aren't we?
Pinching a punch to you and to all of the people around you as well. The reason why we're making these jokes about this is that this is the second recording of this podcast. You got to do it right because I accidentally let slip some company-sensitive information, which is not privy to the market. It's one of those special things that you get access to when you're involved in bits and pieces that suddenly you have to separate yourself from bits and pieces of stocks, and you do, and that's what it is. In unrelated news, deal of the week is Wellnex. They are buying Pain Away. We are doing the shortfall for them at Barclay Pearce. If you would like to know more, please do so. Send out a note for that one. We're raising it at 2.8 cents. There's some research, independent research just came out, values the entire thing, box and dice, even sort of without the Pain Away injection, which it does add massively to their bottom line. That is at 11.5 cents. So that's pretty cool. Changes. I think the price to earnings ratio for forward looking 2025, based on all the numbers, is about 1.5 times. So it comes on super cheap at these particular prices. So theoretically, big value play, big turnaround story. I'm banging the table on this one. That's my deal of the week. John, you get a chance to shoot your shot with the deal of the week before we then start talking about Christmas lights and stuff.
Well, I'm just going to brag a little bit. Today it came out with a good friend of mine from Stockhead, the best performing tech stocks. And one of them is a stock that I wouldn't mind talking about on your show. Fendi, it was up 67% for the month of December, November. Ahead of myself.
Yep. No, watch out. Yeah. 67% Fendi. So what are they? And they do, what is it, the ATMs in India? Is that what you were saying?
ATMs in India. So the reason why I had a real rocket up at, well, there's multiple things. It's severely undervalued because the market cap's only 40 mil. The reason why it's undervalued, A, it's ATMs, not really sexy here in Australia. And B, I think the market doesn't really get India. Like we all know, you rabbit on always about going into an Indian ETF. But I don't think the market really appreciates how to get exposure. And I think part of the reason is because it's the only listed ASX company that has direct exposure to India. So that's probably why it's pretty undervalued. There's no real peers. It got a real rocket up at a few weeks ago because a bit of background with Fendi, they owned TSI India, 100% of it. And yep. They made an announcement a few weeks ago that a big Indian fund worth $1.7 billion, backed by an even bigger Canadian pension fund, is going to invest $37 million for a 16% stake of TSI India. So that is effectively values the company at 200 odd million. The IPO should happen within 3 years. It'll be listed in Bombay. Market cap right now is 40 odd mil. And this fund thinks it's worth 200 mil. And we agree with them. We got a research report that's valuing them at $3.62 a share. That was before the IPO announcement. So there's plenty more upside. If you want to have it, I sent you the research report, James. So
send me the note. We'll have a bit of a look at it. I'm 100% on just looking at this Wellnext thing at the moment. Have you tried the Wakey Wakey? It's a caffeinated sort of fizzy thing that you put into water. So it's really nice. Anyway, Dad lives on it, and he didn't even know that I was doing this. And I found something. He came and stayed last week, Thanksgiving, which is good. Heath, mate, what have you got going on at the moment? Anything good?
I'm a little bit more boring, unfortunately. I'm just reweighting portfolios, getting a little bit more gold in there. Adding a few more bond ETFs. It's really boring on my end, the thing. I don't have any really fancy small cap stock I can speak about at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I think we're probably going to talk about a few goldies eventually. But before that, mate, it is the 1st of December. And that means this weekend I got to put all the Christmas lights up around my new house.
Yep. Got to do the same.
What sort of a pattern are you going for this year? I'm going to go minimalist on the outside, and I want to do maximalist in my new beer garden area that I've got back. Good work, John.
We just go very, very simple. Just a border around the gutter. We've got a few reindeer and snowmen and stuff that go out on the lawn. So I'm going to get the lawn actually prepped and mowed and whatever. So that's all ready to go. But, just very simple lights. I don't like getting on the roof. So I keep it very simple.
I'm just keeping it very basic for all the viewers out there. A bit of a Christmas tree.
You got yours there. I realize that the Christmas tree has been taken from the studio here as well, which means that it's out in the dealing room. Anyway, it's December, so I suppose it's time to crack on. John, what's your Christmas light situation?
We just, I'm not in the office today, so I'm working from home. I'm about to go to Mudgee for a good mate's wedding, but our Christmas light situation, we get them all sorted when I'm back from Mudgee. The Christmas light's in the office. We've got a small little tree in the Red Leaf headquarters, so yeah, it's all Christmassy. We're getting into this whole spirit of things. Very festive.
Good work, mate. Fantastic. Heath, do you want to get onto your market wrap, mate? I'll load you up. We'll just get into that because I've got a couple of other stuff I want to talk about as well. Congratulations. Welcome to the stage. Brief. Hitting this button here. There it is. Okay.
Beautiful.
Heath, show us what you got. What are we looking at there? Is that the SPX?
Yeah, that's the SPX. Very, very quiet and flat week. I think up 2 points so far for the 4 trading days for the week. Mm. That's the SPX. NASDAQ's up about 0.1%, so not much going on. We've seen a decent rally in the preceding weeks leading up to it. Market got a bit excited in terms of yields this week because we had Waller from the Fed come out and talk down rates and the possibility of cuts next year. It's the first time, you know, cuts have really been acknowledged and talked about by the Fed. He was talking about if inflation came down to 2.5% on a consistent basis, then the Fed would probably look at cuts. So the market got excited about that. You can see there the sell-off in yields. There was a bit of a jump in yields last night because of soft CPI data in the euro area. So they bounced in the US. That's really the story. Gold you can see the chart there this week, had a very, very good week. That's on the back of a weaker US dollar and lower yields and the possibility of recessions over in the US. What else is happening? Oh, oil. We're going to speak about oil. A real funny one with oil this week. We had the OPEC meeting last night, which was delayed about a week. The news coming out of it was they agreed to a further additional 1 million barrels of oil a day cut, but it wasn't actually in the minutes. It was actually, sounds like, and this is probably why oil came off about 2% last night. It sounds more like a gentleman's agreement than an actual official agreement by the OPEC nations. So it's a bit of a weird, funny night last night for oil because of it started off popping. And then when the minutes came out and, you know, the rarity came from that, then we realized it actually wasn't in there. It came off again. So bit of a funny one. In terms of macro news, we really didn't have much this week. We've had Australian retail sales, which showed some weakness, down 0.2% when we're expected to be up 0.1%. So we're seeing continued softness in the Australian consumer. Australian CPI came in very soft, down to 4.9% versus a 5.2% expected read. That's the headline. And that's down from 5.6% last month. And then we had China CPI. CPI came in very soft yesterday. Manufacturing came in at 49.4 when they expected a 49.7 read. And even services came in quite soft, 50.2. So just in that expansionary territory when a 51.1 read was expected. So far that stimulus hasn't fed through to the Chinese economy. And we're seeing some softness there. So that's basically the week that we've had. Very quiet week after the Thanksgiving celebrations over the weekend in the US. Sure. But we do have non-farm payrolls next week in the US. So that will be what the market will be looking for.
Okay. Mate, that's it. Now, you spoke about gold, and I'm just going to throw this up here. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. Where am I? Share screen. I'm just going to put that on there. Share that. Share. Okay. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. We are witnessing history today. This is by the CEO Technician Twitter account. The highest monthly close in history for gold. Congratulations, everyone who listens to this show and watches this show as well. We did absolutely call gold as being one of the more obvious trades that there was going on around there. What's your favorite stock again? It was Gold Road. I know, John, you probably got
The small caps, Gold Road, GOR was one of them. The bigger caps, Northern Star and Evolution Mining. Their codes NST and EV.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Again, been getting a few clients into them earlier in the week and towards the end of last week, done well so far, up about 5%. So, can't complain. Gold's behaving as it should be.
Yeah, that's right.
Heath, have you looked at Perseus, PRU? I know it's in Africa.
Yes. Yeah. I did. I do like Perseus, PRU, and the chart looked fantastic. My only, I'll bring it up on the screen, actually. PRU, Perseus, there we go. Oh, no, that's the TSX. Ignore that. That's the TSX listing. PRU, there's the ASX. Yep. Whoa. You can see... You can see the sort of consolidation there, breakout this week, a pop of about 10 cents, 15 cents there. Like you said, in Africa, so probably will always have a discount when you compare it to peers, especially Australian miners. But they do have a very large uplift in terms of production coming, I think it's this year and next year. And in terms of their reserves and resources, that's also quite large as well. So it does look cheap, but I think a lot of that has to do with Africa and, just the basic discount, the sovereign risk there. But I do like it, and the chart suggests it looks very good here.
That is a good chart. That is a good chart. Okay, what's next on here that we've got? John, if you've got anything, please let me know. Otherwise, we're just going to start talking about other bits and pieces that's going on. I don't have anything to add to this market right now apart from just the fact that it is just a very simple sort of situation. We saw the S&P continue to grind its way higher, even sort of beyond the grinding. I'm going to go with that joke. The NASDAQ was up over 10% for the month of November, which is the best month since July 2022.
Since July 22, yep. The S&P 500 was up over 8%. Same with the Dow. XJO, the Australian market was up 4.5%, which is its best month in a while. But December, as we know, always positive. 74% chance of being a positive month, and the average gain for December is 1.4%. It's the most positive. It's the month with the highest chance of being positive throughout the year. So, it's generally, we generally end the year with that Santa rally.
Yeah.
What I would add to is there's a big disconnect between the NASDAQ and the small cap tech space.
Yes.
For obvious reasons, people are concerned about their balance sheets in a high interest rate environment. Now that seems to ease, companies that are on the cusp of being EBITDA positive in the tech, small cap tech, that should have a very good run in 2024, in our opinion.
So do you like the Russell 2000?
Yeah, I'll be definitely looking into that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah. RUT, I'm trying to think about the ETF. I can't even remember what the ETF name is for that one anymore.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Okay. In unrelated news, here's OVO's introducing their OVO's electric vehicle plan. Sort of just a bit more funny. Bit of funny stuff to you. It's an EV plan. You get a tariff that powers your home and charges your EV without breaking the bank, blah, 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 blah. But have a look at the logo.
Oh, God. That's the first time I've seen that.
anyone who's listening, I can't explain the logo to you, but it's I think you just got to go to YouTube and see that one. That's not been thought through very well.
Can I just, after looking at that logo, there is a very interesting IPO coming up. LTR.
Oh,
Farm.
No.
Have you heard about that? LTR Farm.
Oh, the nasal, is it? No, the
nasal spray this, Viagra.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
This is for no reason at all. I'm keen on companies being listed on the market. That's great. Good for liquidity.
Beautiful.
What are they going to do with the? Oh, there's so many jokes, man. I'm not going to do it.
It's pretty endless, but apparently it works in 5 minutes.
Damn.
I'll just leave it at that. Okay.
Now I got to do some Google searching. Moving on from there, we are.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
I'm not
touching that. Twitter account. Is Henry Kissinger dead yet? They can finally say yes. Congratulations to them.
Oh, actually, we have to touch upon this. The great man, one of the great investors of all time, passing away during the week. Charlie Munger died at 99 on, was it Wednesday? Wednesday our time. Sad. I mean, 99, so not unexpected, but one of the greatest investment minds going around. And I think we've probably, whether we realize it or not, taken a leaf out of his book with a bit of an investment analogy or advice along the lines. Yep. It's been a stalwart of the industry, and we've lost a good one there.
Yeah, he has definitely shaped the way that investment happens and works. It's more on that long-term value play area that Buffett does do, that everyone manages to find so difficult to do until it's all too late on that one. So, but it happens where there is age, there is the move to that next section. I don't like to dwell on it. Meanwhile, when it comes to annual salaries, this is something I put in my note at the top of the week. The average, so they did a survey, these guys, I can't remember who it was that did it, but a survey was conducted asking average people what they think they need to be happy per annum as an income. Now, I'm pretty sure that these are US dollars. Here's what each generation said they need to earn annually, as well as the net worth required. Gen Z think they need $128,000 income with a net worth of 487 grand. Gen X, I'm going to skip over it, think they need 130 grand with 1.2 million of net worth. And boomers think they need $124,000 income with a net worth of about $1 million. Millennials believe, and I am one of them, believe that you need about $525,000, so about almost five times as much as the others, $525,000 income with a net worth of $1.7 million. That's a disconnect that is going on right now. And if you actually break down the numbers on that, millennials are right in the wheelhouse of kids' school house upgrade or new house sort of area. That's right in the sweet spot. It's amazing the fact that other generations think that's what they need to be secure. Mm-hmm. Millennials are five times as much. Take that into anyone who's in the advising space. I gave a presentation of this on Tuesday. Anyone who's in the advising space, readjust your expectations with regards to that particular demographic on what they actually need to be able to retire and survive and everything. That does change the view quite significantly, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, who did they interview for this? Because, I mean, like you said, you're a millennial, I'm a millennial. I'm not sure about you, John, sorry. But, yeah, that's a huge disconnect, and I'm wondering what type of lifestyles these people are living because living in Adelaide.
They're not in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in Sydney, it'd be 625,000. No, I think it's just across the US. I put it in my note. Check out my note for anyone who wants to do that. Footy tips, and then we'll knock it in the head.
Yeah, I'll go first. I missed out last week by half a point, so I've been riding the margins well for the last few weeks, and last week I missed out. The Eagles got up, but it was by in overtime, and they don't do the extra point. That cost me, but oh well. This week I'm going for my 49ers to cover the line of 2.5 versus the Eagles in Philly. Eagles have a lot of injuries. The quarterback, a couple of their offensive players are also injured as well. So I think the 49ers will cover that quite easily in good form.
I think I was seeing a stat. The Eagles are 10-1, I think, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's the first time a 10-1 home team has ever been the underdog. It's going to be a cracker. John, what have you got, mate, as our ring-in cameo guest?
Well, I wasn't prepared for this, but I am a follower of the A-League, and Brisbane Roar is playing Western Sydney tomorrow night. Tonight up in Brizzy. And a certain Cahill, Timmy Cahill's son, will be on the Brisbane Roar side.
Oh, wow.
So, fantastic. Yeah, his first game. So I'm not sure if he's starting or be on the bench. But I'd love to see the odds of him scoring a header as the winner for Brisbane Roar. That'll be amazing. So they're paying $2.50 for the win, Brisbane Roar. So I'll probably back them.
Adelaide United just rolled the Western Sydney or where it was Western Melbourne, something like that. 3-1 on the weekend or something like that. So interesting.
I've got Dank trade of 4,000. Absolute gold. Gold last week. He got 2 out of 3. I think it was fantastic. He's got only one this week. Green Bay Packers at home against the Chiefs with a 6.5 start for the Packers.
He loves the Packers.
He loves the Packers. He does. Bet with what you know. Do with what you know. And he's chucked on here as well. Carolina over at Tampa Bay with a 5.5 start there. So Carolina looking to lift itself up there with a new coach. The coach has just been fired or whatever's going on there. Mate, that's all the time that we've got to get into that. I've got to get back on the phones and try and put this deal away, which is going well. A reminder, fantastic, if you want to know anything about Wellnex, this is not investment advice, but if you would like to know anything more about it, please let me know. Sophisticated investors only for the shortfall. So that's absolutely, this does not apply to retail investors. That's all I've got, mate. Anything else?
No, I'm all done, mate.
All done. No,
have yourself a good one. Stay safe. Hey, have a good trip over in Mudgee too, John. Talk to you later. Thanks very much.
Yes.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye. When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.